Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is a Friday afternoon. It is one hot Friday afternoon, and it is going to be a very, very sultry, hot weekend. So I hope you can find a way to stay cool this weekend. Cheap Trick is going to be in concert Saturday night at the Sanger Theater. I've seen them a couple of times here. Last time I saw them was at House of Blues. And they are a fun band, an iconic band from the 70s and from the 80s. And for those of us who grew up when rock was young, there's something special about these groups and artists that are still kicking it today. As a young disc jockey on music stations, I remember playing the early hits of a new band called Cheap Trick. 40 years later, I'm doing the same thing. And 40 years later, Cheap Trick is doing the same thing. And Saturday night, they'll be on stage at the Sanger Theater. Tickets still on sale for that. One of the founding members of Cheap Trick is a phenom on the guitar. Lead guitar player, background vocalist, primary songwriter for the band, and a very animated character. Rick Nielsen joins us on the show. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm great. Look, you've been touring with Robin Sanders and Tom Peterson for many, many years. Man, did you think you'd still be doing this after 40 years?
Of course. No. but I never thought, never thought about it. We think we'll do it next week. Well, yeah, we have enough of a schedule ahead of time that we just like, oh, I'll see you next week, we'll see you on the plane, whatever. We never.
But Cheap Trick, Cheap Trick is one of the bands now that, you can look out into the audience and see not only people that grew up with your hits, but see younger generations as well. So how does that feel to you?
That's cool. Big time cool. No offense of our older fans, but, we don't want to just look at them all the time.
Yeah. I get it. I first interviewed you guys in the late 80s, and I met up with you again backstage at House of Blues here in New Orleans in the mid-90s. And my lasting memory of being backstage with you guys was Courtney Love sitting on the famous sofa backstage at the House of Blues. She had a joint hanging out of her mouth, and she was not sitting like a lady. That's my lasting memory of you backstage.
Yeah, and she had dark hair. Well, never mind.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying in our audience.
No,
but look, my audience will get that.
Okay.
All right, look.
She actually had dark hair on her head.
Yeah, okay, cool. you guys were awesome that night. I look forward to the concert Saturday night.
Yeah, I have a picture of that, too.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
You mean of her?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I mean, we were the same thing that stands out to me backstage there stands out. Well, you couldn't miss her because she was like right there on the sofa.
I'll bring it with me this time too.
Cool.
This will be the third time we played at the Sanger too.
Yeah. No. I mentioned it on the air the other day. I played one of your songs, and I had some people texting reminding me of the times that you've been at the Sanger and the times that they saw you here in New Orleans. Your hits include I Want You to Want Me, Surrender, The Flame, a cover of the Elvis hit Don't Be Cruel, and a great cover of Ain't That a Shame, originally done by Fats Domino here in New Orleans. Will it be special to play Ain't That a Shame Saturday night in the home of Fats Domino?
Sure, it sure will. And actually in 1979, Fats' manager came to our show in Salt Lake City and said, Fats loves your version of Ain't That a Shame so much that he gave us his gold record. We have the gold 45 of Ain't It a Shame from Fats, and with the band we drew straws, and I ended up with it.
Cool. Yeah, that's a great memory. Rick, I've talked about the controversy over cultural appropriation, and some people think that when you do a cover song from a minority group, you're stealing their identity. How do you feel about doing Ain't That a Shame?
Well, I don't know. Other people do our songs too. Obviously, Fats Domino liked us enough because we sold a lot of records, and I'm sure he made some money from it too. So what do I think about it? I think songs are supposed to be interpreted for years by whoever. Some versions are good, some versions are better, some versions aren't quite so good.
Your onstage image has always intrigued me. I mean, at a time when Robin fit the stereotypical rock star with the long blonde hair, you had the image of a maniac guitar genius, and at times you were cartoonish. Was that who you really were?
That's who I never wanted to be anybody else. I don't know that I wanted to be me, but I never wanted to be anybody else. And it's like, you know, I would look wrong with a cucumber wrapped in tinfoil in my pants and wearing gold lamé and my mother's makeup. You know, it's like that was not what I was. And, Robin, you just, you know, I care about Robin's voice. He looks great, but it's like, you know, it's the voice and the musicianship. It was never about, we were never trying to be, all right, you know, if we get this good-looking guy, you know, this will be good. And, well, can he sing? It doesn't matter. You know, no. The musicianship of Cheap Trick always came first. Yeah,
but as it turned out, I mean, you guys were a very eclectic-looking group on stage.
Well, I'm still the eye candy of the band. So
yeah, well, I understand. So you went through some image changes in the early 90s, a mustache and goatee. You wore dark glasses. And then one night in 2001, you're at your hometown concert in Rockford, Illinois. And before the encore, you go backstage and you shave off your facial hair and came out clean shaven. Was that planned in advance?
No. Well, it was planned in advance that day for me. I didn't tell anybody else. But I'd quit drinking. It sounds like I kept drinking when doing that, but it's like I quit drinking, and it's like, well, let's start this thing fresh and new here. I never drank when we played, but I drank. I could always outdrink everybody I knew, so it was like, and then after I quit, it's like the doctor said, oh, your liver's fine. I think, my God, I should have had more.
So, yeah. Rick, now that you're not drinking, what was the biggest change in your life, especially as a performer, without drinking?
I eat more sugar. I buy the good pralines or whatever they're called down there.
That's it.
And down there in New Orleans. I don't know. I was always kind of speedy and nervous and ants in the pants kind of guy anyhow. So it's like, I don't really see much difference except going to a restaurant. My restaurant bills are half the price.
Yeah. So
I think about the subtleties. You know, like I said, I never drank when I worked.
Yeah.
And I was like, like a lot of people, I started drinking early. You know, mm-hmm. and you never even thought about it. I was in a band. You know, I used to smoke too. Holy cow! You know, I used to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day. Philip Morris Commanders. I quit in 19 before even Cheap Trick started. I quit in like 1970 or 71. But it's like, you know, I loved every cigarette I had.
Well, Rick, you're an example of one of those rock stars that like changed some of the bad habits that he had, and it's one of the reasons you're alive.
I still have plenty of bad habits.
Oh, that's good.
Good.
All right.
Sorry, continue.
That's all right. So your first success was in Japan in 77, and then you hit mainstream America a couple of years later. Why do you think you guys were such an immediate success in Japan?
Well, remember, I'm the eye candy.
Oh, yeah, well, that's right, yeah. Uh-huh.
They
love American guys.
Yeah, they liked their songs, and they liked us, what we were. You know, they didn't think of me as the nerdy, waggy. Well, maybe they did, but it's like, you know, we weren't four guys that were exactly the same. You know, we were individuals as opposed to just a group. And they liked our songs. We had a couple of number one hit songs over there way before, years before we had them in the United States.
Yeah. Nihongo dekimasu ka?
They were the smartest people I ever met in my life.
Yeah. Nihongo dekimasu ka?
I can't remember anymore.
Yeah. Nihongo wa yoku wa kerimasu. Hey, I don't speak Japanese very well either. Hey, you must still love playing Japan, though.
Yeah, we were going there, I think it's October. Yeah, it's the 40th anniversary of Heaven Tonight.
All right, this was recorded earlier, and I'm going to continue the conversation. Rick was traveling during the show today, so he couldn't do it live. So when we come back after the break, we'll continue my conversation with Rick Nielsen, who is just one of the iconic members, founding members of Cheap Trick. And, you know, I asked him about this song, Ain't It a Shame. This was really the classic Fats Domino hit, and they covered this. They also covered Elvis Presley, Don't Be Cruel. And I just asked him, and he said it's going to be really special to play this song on stage at the Sanger Saturday night in the home of Fats Domino. I'm Scoot. My conversation with Rick Nielsen continues on WWL. All right, I'm going to get to the conclusion of my conversation with Rick Nielsen, a founding member, lead guitar player, and background vocalist, and primary songwriter for Cheap Trick. Coming up, here's a text that says, Scoot, one of my early dates with my current wife was to see Cheap Trick on the Steamboat President. Another text says, FYI, Cheap Trick is still rocking and putting out great music. They are Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, not just a band from the 70s and 80s. Yeah, I mean, that's true. In fact, I asked Rick Nielsen. They were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2016, and I asked him how that felt.
Well, I still feel it. Still feels good.
In 2016...
Anyway, it's an honor, you know, yeah. What can I say?
In 2016, the Republican Party asked you to play. We're going to give you $100,000 to play the launching concert of the 2016 Republican National Convention, and you guys didn't want to do it.
We still don't.
Yeah. But Robin made an interesting comment. He said we did have second thoughts, and if you did accept it, you were going to put swastikas on your guitars.
No, we weren't. He said that to somebody in... we were doing an interview for English newspaper. Not that that's a should have said that, and we were talking about something else, and they kind of turned it into that because it was a base that Tom was maybe going to buy that belonged to some English band that, you know, like, and it turned into, and they, you know, turned the words around. But no, we just, you figure if you play for Republicans or Independents or Democrats, half the people hate you, yeah. And the other people will grow to hate you. So it's like, we just try to avoid anything that has to do with politics.
Well,
it's too dividing.
Well, a lot of people appreciate that because one of the big controversies on my talk show is the performers that bring politics into their show and onto the stage, and people just want to be entertained.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, it's like... you know, it's like going to dinner and that's all they talk about, or they, you know, or old people, all they talk about is, you know, what hurts. You know, it's like, you know, I'm not very good at big talk, but small talk I'm awful at.
Rick, I got to ask you about the five neck guitar.
Uh-huh.
Really? I mean, does it really matter that you've got, like, if you've got three, you need two more? I mean, does it matter? Does it make a difference if you play the different necks?
Well, I used to be taller. But the weight is, well, you come to our show, I'll let you play around with the five neck, then you give everybody your opinion.
Okay.
That's fair.
It is fair. Now look, you sell guitars,
I buy more guitars than I sell.
But there's a website, and people can go to your website and get guitars, right?
Well, I've done that twice, but I still have over 500. So I just bought three this past week. So there you go. That's what I do. Yeah, I'm a collector, so.
Yeah. Which is one of the guitars that you own that really stands out, that's really special to you?
Well, I have a 1963 Gil Merle Travis. They were $2,000 in 1963, and so they only sold three of them. I think they sold two of them, actually. The first one went to the Merle Travis family. The second one is the one that I have. And the third one is in a collection in New York. They were $2,000. You could buy a Ford Mustang or a Volkswagen Beetle for that. So, I mean, nobody bought them. So that's one of the rarest. I mean, otherwise I've got three 1958 Gibson Carina Explorers. They only made 19 of those, so they're...
And do you enjoy actually playing them?
I love playing them. I love the stuff that's beat up and old, sort of like me. Well, yesterday I got a 1959 Gibson Les Paul TV, and it's actually in pretty good shape. But it's like, you know, I like that stuff that's, you know, been beat up a little bit and played, has some mojo to it.
Yeah, I know there's some people listening who are into guitars, and they can appreciate what you appreciate. What's the toughest thing about touring over the years with Robin Zanders?
I don't know. Nothing. He's a good one to travel with. Okay.
What would he say? What would he say is the toughest thing about touring with you?
Too many expletives. You know, I don't know. The toughest thing about it, you know, it's like he has to care about his voice.
Yeah.
You know, he has to warm up every day, and so it's a, your voice is like it's a fine-tuned instrument. You have to work at it. And you have to, and you can't abuse it too much or whatever.
Man, Rick, thanks for taking time to talk with us, and I look forward to seeing you on stage at the Singer tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you come up, take a look at the 5-neck guitar.
All right, look, you just leave a backstage pass for me, and I'll be there, all right?
You got it, buddy.
All right. I've been talking to an amazing guitarist, a background vocalist and primary songwriter for the legendary rock band Cheap Trick, Rick Nielsen. Rick, thanks for spending time with us, and we'll see you tomorrow night, Singer.
Adios. Bye.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to also go to Riverwalk and get some fresh pralines, because there's that place in Riverwalk that makes the pralines fresh, because he says he loves pralines from here. So I'm going to go get him some fresh pralines and bring those to him backstage. And I'll try to get a picture. All right, if you want to join us with the comment, number's 260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back. Late grunge pioneer Chris Cornell will be remembered in the city where he was born, Seattle. Chris Cornell's wife announced earlier today that a statue will be erected August the 29th at Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture on Chris Cornell's 54th birthday. Yeah, we talked about that sad news when it happened in May of 2017. The Grammy award-winning lead vocalist of Soundgarden and Audioslave was found dead in his hotel room in Detroit hours after a Soundgarden concert. A medical examiner determined that at the age of 52, he killed himself, and that was just one of those tragic losses. And, you know, you just, when you hear about that, you just wonder what has happened in somebody's life to lead them to that. But that's nice that there'll be a bronze statue to him. Well, you've heard the news, and I woke up to this this morning and saw that that duck boat, that amphibious duck boat in the Branson, Missouri area, that capsized and 17 people drowned. And, you know, you hear about things like there were life jackets on the boats, but not everybody had the life jackets on. And then there's some questions about whether or not that duck boat should have gone into the water, because there were severe thunderstorm warnings around. And the airport nearby detected a gust of 63 miles an hour. And I saw the video and how rough it was. And there was an excursion steamboat on the same lake near Branson, Ozarks in Missouri. And people were watching this boat go down. I mean, this had to be just a horrible, horrible thing. And so our thoughts and prayers are with everybody there. President Trump extended his deepest sympathies to those who were affected by the accident that killed 17 people. But, you know, if you don't know how to swim, man, wear a life jacket. I don't know if I, you know, I'm a good swimmer. I don't know if I would want to even be in a boat, a small boat. I mean, I'd go on a cruise. But if I didn't know how to swim, I don't even know if I'd want to be in a boat. Because, I mean, you know, you never know. And if you don't know how to swim, put that life jacket on. And then I think he was 7 years old, some kid drowned near the old Pontchartrain, Lake Pontchartrain Beach, near the old Pontchartrain Beach area. He drowned in Lake Pontchartrain. He took off his life jacket, and he drowned. So when people are seeking to cool off in the hot weather, you know, water is a place that a lot of people go. But if you don't know how to swim, that's not always the best place to be. If you don't have it, get it. It's the radio.com app. We used to be on TuneIn app and the TuneIn website, but now we're only at WWL.com and the radio.com app and website. And you can line WWL up in your favorite stations and stream this show and any show from our station or anywhere, anytime. anywhere. And if you favorite WWL, you'll hook up with us on Twitter and on Facebook. And the video that is posted, the daily video on Facebook today, is about the idea that the NFL has now gotten together with the NFL Players Association, and they're now suspending the rule that was set to go into effect this season, suspending the rule that players and teams would be punished if they came out and did not kneel for the national anthem. The option was for them to stay in the locker room. But now all of that is on hold. We've got a couple of weeks till the season starts, so nothing's going to be imposed until then, so it's really not a big deal at this point. But, you know, it's interesting that that controversy rages on, and I asked the question in the video. I asked the question, what is the solution? I mean, what do you think the solution is? Is it suspending the players, which could mean some key players? Is it leaving the teams in the locker room while the national anthem is played? That's not going to stop some people in the stands from protesting if they want to. And some will do that, sympathizing with the players. And isn't it sad that in all of this, what has really gotten lost was the cause behind Colin Kaepernick's reason for taking a knee? It's gotten lost. All we hear is this divisive, political, tribal debate about who's right and who's wrong, and you should do this or you shouldn't do that. That's all we hear. And we don't hear enough talk about the problem that exists that led to the protest in the first place. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870. Text 870-870. Okay, so there is a study out about how Americans try to improve their mood when they're in a bad mood. We'll talk more about this on the show next week, but I thought it was interesting that the number one band that people listen to relax, the number one band, according to the survey, is the Beatles. Eagles were number two. We'll be back on WWL. Man, I thought this was just the coolest song. Loved Sly and the Family Stone. Hey, we welcome the national fraternities and sororities in town this weekend. Last night on Bourbon Street, it was absolutely packed. I mean, this city is jamming right now. And it didn't always get crowded in the summertime because it's just so brutally hot. But I mean, the city is packed. A lot going on. Earlier, we were talking about how there's a new problem in the workplace, and some people are claiming they have been sexually harassed by emojis. And I know that sounds just ridiculous, doesn't it? But if you think about it, it's not. If you're in the workplace, why are you going to put a peeled banana? Or why are you going to put the nose that some people say looks like male genitalia? Or why are you going to put the eggplant? It's kind of curved and looks rather phallic. Why are you going to put that in your text to a coworker or on an email? And this started because somebody that I work with here at the station, she was kind of joking because she knows me, but she said, I hope this, she sent me a message and she sent me an emoji. And it, I don't know, it was a wink or a kiss or heart or whatever. I didn't take it wrong at all. And she said, I hope this isn't sexual harassment. And then I started talking to her about that. Then she started sending me these stories about sexual harassment in the workplace. So I want to thank Kishana Gomez for that. Here is a text that says, if you're inside a boat, you don't have to put on your life jacket. Well, okay, you don't have to. But if you don't know how to swim and it's starting to get rough, why wouldn't you grab it? I mean, seriously. I mean, look, I'm not questioning the people who died. But sometimes we don't use common sense as people. I mean, think about this. I just got a text a moment ago about leaving kids and animals in hot cars. I mean, what is missing in your brain that makes you think you can leave a kid in the car or a pet in the car? I mean, you can't do it. And if you do and the child dies, you may be charged with murder. And then I got a text a moment ago saying somebody brought up emojis and sexual harassment. And somebody said, well, I'm driving behind a pickup truck and a guy's got the dangling steel testicles trailer hitch. And I thought, you know, well, that's just immediately a sign of less intelligence. And people say, well, no, you're profiling. No, I'm not profiling when somebody takes action. If I looked at a pickup truck and said, ah, that person probably doesn't have an IQ in triple digits. See, that's profiling. But when you do something like that, no, you're proving it. And I'll use the analogy again. It's kind of like if you see a kid on the street with a gun robbing somebody, it's okay to say, that kid's a robber. If he doesn't have the gun and he's walking down the street, you can't say, that kid's a robber, because that is the profiling part. Then I got a text that says that they were behind a pickup truck with the testicles dangling from the bumper hitch, the trailer hitch, and a woman was driving. Well, that's her choice, but I don't know. I wonder how much say-so she has in the house. Seems like that's just a sign of a very, very chauvinistic man. In Greenville, North Carolina, the Division of Motor Vehicles has approved a woman's request for a specialty license plate to honor her wife. It was initially turned down. The license plate was to read LSBNSNLV. LSBN, lesbian, S, lesbians, in, LV, in love, lesbians in love. And they determined that this was offensive and indecent. If I would have seen the license plate with LSBNSNLV, I would have thought that license plate has got to be so long it's going to be affecting traffic. But I mean, I wouldn't have thought lesbians in love. I mean, sometimes we take things a little too far. But anyway, it has been approved, so it's going through, and that's good news. Also in the news, just a very distressing story from a steakhouse in Texas. And please do not judge everybody in Texas who eats steaks this way. But the bill was $108, and the waiter was Khalil Cavill. 20 years old, worked at the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Odessa, Texas. Odessa's pretty Texas. Not necessarily beautiful, but I mean, it's like, that's really Texas. Anyway, on the check, on Khalil's check, the guy printed, "We don't tip terrorists." Really? How do you know that guy's a terrorist? This is the political terrorism that is terrorizing our country. We're America. You're going to write, "We don't tip terrorists," to somebody who you think is from the Middle East? I'm Scoot. It's Friday afternoon. Yeah, we'll find something a little bit lighter to talk about before we end this show. Michael Cohen apparently recorded conversations with Trump about the Playboy playmate, so that may come out. Yeah, man, it's hot. So just figure out a way to stay cool. I know that there are some people who are going into their apartment complex's saunas to cool off because, man, I mean, it's a mess. Not only stay cool, but stay dry. We'll be back on WWL. All right, it's Friday. We are heading into the weekend together. It has been fun spending the afternoon with you. I want to thank Diane Newman, our program director, our show producer, Tom Manessis, and our studio producer, Ian Hoag. Sports Talk is coming up next with Christian Garrick and Bobby Hebert with special guest host, Seth Dunlap. All of that is coming up next. All right, so I love this text here. I've got to get this in. Scoot, I heard about the woman who had the testicles hanging from her trailer hitch. She got those from her husband as part of the divorce settlement. Truer words were never spoken. It's time for the $1,000 Intercom National Cash Contest. I love this audience, National Cash Contest. The code word this hour is JAM. Text J-A-M to 72881. That's 72881. Text it now. You can win $1,000. Next code word coming up right before the top of the hour news at 5 o'clock. This goes on until 6 o'clock. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Even though we don't always agree, I love spending every afternoon with you. You are part of this show. Even if you don't call or text, I consider you to be a very important part of our show every afternoon. Try to stay cool. Try to stay dry over the weekend because it's going to be hot and sweaty. I'm Scoot. Have a good one. We're back Monday. Love you, New Orleans.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.